manipulative, hurtful, unpredictable, and insidious. Kirby Anderson shines light into the darkness of verbal abuse now on Probe.
I'd like to address the subject of verbal abuse for two important reasons. First, our behavior is often a great indicator of our worldview. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." What a person thinks in his or her mind and heart will be reflected in his or her words and actions. Verbal abuse and physical abuse result from a worldview that is clearly not biblical. Second, I want to deal with verbal abuse because of the incredible need for Christians to address the subject. 10 years ago, I did a week of radio programs on this topic, and I received more emails from men and women who have read the transcript than on any other article. They were grateful that I addressed the subject. Since there are some new books and websites, I wanted to update the original article. You know, most of us know someone who's been verbally abused. Perhaps you're involved in a verbally abusive relationship. It's also possible that no one even knows your circumstances. So this week I want to tackle this very important issue in an effort to understand this phenomenon and provide answers. First, we should acknowledge that verbal abuse is often more difficult to see since there are rarely any visible scars unless physical abuse has also taken place. It is often less visible simply because the abuse may always take place in private. The victim of verbal abuse lives in a gradually more confusing realm. In public, the victim is with one person, while in private, the abuser may become a completely different person. Frequently, the perpetrator of verbal abuse is male and the victim is female, but not always. There are many examples of women who are quite verbally abusive, but for the sake of simplicity of pronouns in this program, I will often identify the abuser as male and the victim as female. Now, one of the first books to describe verbal abuse in adults was Patricia Evans' book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship. She interviewed 40 verbally abused women who ranged in age from 21 to 66. Most of the women had left a verbally abusive relationship, and we'll use some of the characteristics and even categories of verbal abuse these women describe in the book. Years later, she wrote a second book called The Verbally Abusive Man, Can He Change? In that book, she makes the claim that some men can change under certain circumstances, and that led to the subtitle of her book, A Woman's Guide to Deciding Whether to Stay or to Go. Is there hope that some abusers can change? Yes, but the key to healing is for the person being abused to recognize verbal abuse for what it is and begin to take deliberate steps to stop it and bring healing. Since the abuser is usually in denial, the responsibility for recognizing verbal abuse often rests with the partner.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. If you need a copy of Kirby's transcript on verbal abuse, it's free. Please go to probe.org, then join us next time as we shine the light of God's truth into our dark culture, here on Probe.
What are some of the characteristics of verbal abuse? Well, here is a list as outlined in The Verbally Abusive Relationship. Number one, verbal abuse is hurtful and usually attacks the nature and abilities of the partner. Over time, the partner may begin to believe that there is something wrong with her or her abilities. She may come to feel that she is the problem rather than her partner. Number two, verbal abuse may be overt or covert. Overt abuse is usually blaming and accusatory and consequently confusing to the partner. Covert verbal abuse, which is hidden aggression, is even more confusing to the partner. Its aim is to control her without her knowing. Number three, verbal abuse is manipulative and controlling. Even disparaging comments may be voiced in an extremely sincere and concerned way, but the goal is to control and manipulate. Number four, verbal abuse is insidious. The partner's self-esteem gradually diminishes, usually without her realizing it. Number five, verbal abuse is unpredictable. In fact, unpredictability is one of the most significant characteristics of verbal abuse. The partner is stunned, shocked, and thrown off balance by her mate's sarcasm, angry jab, put down, or hurtful comment. Number six, verbal abuse is not a side issue. It is the issue in the relationship. When a couple is having an argument about a real issue, the issue can be resolved. In a verbally abusive relationship, there is no specific conflict. The issue is the abuse, and this issue is not resolved. There is no closure. Verbal abuse also expresses a double message. There is incongruence between the way the abuser speaks and his real feelings. For example, he may sound very sincere and honest while he is telling his partner what is wrong with her. Number eight, verbal abuse usually escalates, increasing in intensity, frequency, and variety. The verbal abuse may begin with put-downs disguised as jokes. Later, other forms may actually surface. And sometimes the verbal abuse may even escalate into physical abuse, starting with accidental shoves, pushes, and bumps. These are just a few of the characteristics of verbal abuse, and I think as an illustration of the fact that we are talking about something that is hurtful. It can be overt or covert. It can be manipulative and controlling. It's oftentimes insidious, unpredictable. It's not necessarily the side issue, and oftentimes can have a double meaning. It's important for us to look at these characteristics, and I would recommend that you read more in the books by Patricia Evans and also visit the Probe website, www.probe.org. What are some of the categories of verbal abuse? Well, here is an outline that comes from the verbally abusive relationship. The first category of verbal abuse is withholding. A marriage requires intimacy, and intimacy requires empathy. If one partner withholds information and feelings, then the marriage bond weakens. The abuser who refuses to listen to his partner denies her experience and leaves her isolated. The second is countering. This is the dominant response of the verbal abuser who sees his partner as an adversary. He is constantly countering and correcting everything she says and does. Internally, he may even be thinking, how dare she have a different view? Countering is very destructive to a relationship because it prevents the partner from knowing what her mate thinks about anything. Sometimes the verbal abuser will cut off discussion in mid-sentence before she can finish her thought. In many ways, he cannot even allow her to have her own thoughts. A third category of verbal abuse is discounting. This is like taking a $100 item and reducing its price to 1 cent. Discounting denies the reality and experience of the partner and is extremely destructive. It can be the most insidious form of verbal abuse because it denies and distorts the partner's actual perception of the abuse. You know, sometimes verbal abuse is disguised as jokes. Although his comments may masquerade as humor, they cut the partner to the quick. The verbal jabs may be delivered crassly or with great skill, but they all have the same effect of diminishing the partner and throwing her off balance. A fifth form of verbal abuse is blocking and diverting. The verbal abuser refuses to communicate, establishes what can be discussed, or withholds information. He can prevent any possibility of resolving conflicts by blocking and diverting. Accusing and blaming is another form. A verbal abuser may accuse his partner of some wrongdoing or some breach of the basic agreement of the relationship. This has the effect of diverting the conversation and putting the other partner on the defensive. Another form of verbal abuse is judging and criticizing. The verbal abuser may judge his partner and then express his judgment in a critical way. If she objects, he may tell her that he is just pointing out something to be helpful, but in reality is expressing his lack of acceptance of her. These are just a few of the categories of verbal abuse. Next time, we'll look at other forms of verbal abuse. And again, encourage you to visit our website, www.probe.org/radio. Last time we looked at some of the categories of verbal abuse, and today I'd like to continue by looking at other forms of verbal abuse. One is trivializing, which can be a form of verbal abuse. I discuss this in more detail in my article on why marriages fail. It is an attempt to take something that has been said or done and make it insignificant. Often the partner becomes confused and believes that she hasn't effectively explained to her mate how important certain things are to her. Undermining is also verbal abuse. The abuser not only withholds emotional support, but also erodes confidence and determination. The abuser often will squelch an idea or suggestion just by a single comment. Threatening is a classic form of verbal abuse. He manipulates his partner by bringing up her greatest fears. This may include threatening to leave or threatening to get a divorce. In some cases, the threat may be used to escalate the abuse. Name-calling can also be verbal abuse. Continually calling somebody stupid because she isn't as intelligent as you, or calling her a klutz because she is not as coordinated, can have a devastating effect on a partner's self-esteem. Verbal abuse may also involve forgetting. This may involve both overt and covert manipulation. Everyone forgets things from time to time, but the verbal abuser consistently does so. After the partner collects herself, subsequently at being yelled at, she may confront her mate only to find that he has forgotten about the incident. Some abusers consistently forget about the promises they have made, which are the most important to their partners. Ordering is another classic form of verbal abuse. It denies the equality and autonomy of the partner. When an abuser gives orders instead of asking, he treats her like a slave or a subordinate. Denial is the last category of verbal abuse. Although all forms of verbal abuse have serious consequences, denial can be a very insidious form because it denies the reality of the partner. In fact, a verbal abuser could read over this entire list of categories and insist that he is not abusive. So that is why it is so important for the partner to recognize these characteristics and categories, since the abuser is often, even usually, in denial. Thus, the responsibility for recognizing verbal abuse and doing something about it often rests with the partner. Now, we've described various characteristics of verbal abuse and even discussed various categories of verbal abuse. Finally, tomorrow, I'd like to provide a biblical perspective. You know, the Bible clearly warns us about the dangers of an angry man. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man." And Proverbs 29:22 says, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression." It is not God's will for you or your friend to be in a verbally abusive relationship. Those angry and critical words will destroy your confidence and self-esteem. Being submissive in a marriage relationship does not mean allowing yourself to be verbally beaten by a partner. 1 Peter 3:1 does teach that wives, by being submissive to the husbands, may win them to Christ by their behavior, but it does not teach that they must allow themselves to be verbally or physically abused. Here are some key biblical principles. First, know that God loves you. The Bible teaches that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. Second, deal with your feelings of guilt. You may be feeling that the problems in your marriage are your fault. If only I would do better, he wouldn't be so angry with me. Well, you know, the Bible teaches in Psalm 51:6, "Surely you desire truth in your inner parts. You teach me wisdom in your inmost place." Even when you are having feelings of guilt, you may not necessarily be the guilty party. I might recommend that you read my article on the subject of false guilt. A related issue is shame. You may feel that something is wrong with you. You may feel that you're a bad person. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Now, a key element in this area of verbal abuse will no doubt be confrontation of the abuser. It's important for you to realize that confrontation is a biblical principle. Jesus taught about this in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20. I would recommend that you seek help from a pastor or counselor, but I would also recommend that you gather godly men and women together who can lovingly confront the person who is verbally abusing you. Their goal should be to break through his denial and lovingly restore him with a sense of gentleness, as we read in Galatians 6:1. But whether you confront the abuser or not, I do recommend that you seek out others who can encourage you and support you. If the abuser is willing to confront his sin and get help, that is good. But even if he will not, your hope is in the Lord and in those who would surround you and encourage you. If you'd like more information about this issue of verbal abuse, visit our website, www.probe.org.